Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 7:02 and time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Cowell is here with you on the Fan Morning Show. And joining us right now is our guy, Jeff Hathorn. Got him. Oh, there he is. What's up, Jeff? How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, Doran. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Just hanging out and, you know, still upset about my Pitt Panthers and the loss that they took on Saturday to Louisville. I thought that that was definitely a winnable game there, but just got to bounce back this week, Jeff. Got to beat Boston College to get on the right track.
So what do you make of what Pat said in that, you know, Eli's the starter, and that's the way it's listed on the depth chart, but let's see how the week plays out. You think they would make a move?
I think they have to do everything necessary to try to get on the right track. So I think they use this week as a somewhat competition. I think you split the reps between Gonzalez and Eli and say, listen, we have a lot of season left in front of us. We have to figure out the biggest position in all sports, and that's the quarterback position. And we got to go into the game with a game plan that we feel comfortable with and who can execute that game plan the best. I think you put everything on the table and try to figure out if you can get a win Saturday.
And I think best case scenario that Eli just balls out.
Yes.
And it's like, this is my job.
Yes. You step up and you kind of respond from some of the issues that you had on Saturday. So hopefully that is the case. Don Kelly extended, Jeff, as the Pirates manager. Don Kelly, being from Mount Lebanon, playing Major League Baseball for many years, has been in the Pirates organization for many years. I believe and think that he earned this opportunity. I really do. I think that whenever Shelton was relieved of his duties, that was a tough situation to be asked to be a part of and to handle. And I thought Don Kelly did as best as he could with what was put on the table for him to work with. I think he earned this opportunity. What say you?
Yeah, and I like the way you phrased that, and earned. I agree with that. I mean, Ben Cherington said he's done two things since he's been with the Pirates over the 6 years. And it really showed itself even more because of the being in a different position as manager. He wants to help people get better, and he wants to help the Pirates win. Like, those are his two goals. And he's not afraid to have tough conversations. And while they still had a losing record under Don, I think if you watch the games, the fundamentals were better. The accountability was better. They're still not good enough. I mean, people will say, oh, you know, they'll get fired up about whatever managerial decision, whether it was Shelton or Don Kelly. I mean, the bottom line is they need a better roster. You could put Jim Leland. I don't care what manager you want to put with this Pirates team. They're not going to be much better because they don't hit. I mean, the hitting stats are insanely bad. Worst in runs. Worst in home runs by a mile. A mile. I mean, they had, I think, 117. The Yankees had 274. Like, I don't expect them to be the Yankees, but at least be somewhere in the same neighborhood. And they've got to get power. And you know what Cherington was saying? We'll kind of see. We heard some of the same buzzwords about internal improvement and stuff like that. They don't have anybody internally that can hit. I mean, I'm done with Sawinski. O'Neill Cruz, like, along with the power bat, they need to bring someone in there, like Carlos Santana a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All the players from, you know, Dominican, Puerto Rico, like, they would do anything for this guy. He was a great leader for them. They need to find somebody in there that they identify with that could be a great leader and they can get the most out of O'Neal because, and I mean, he's got to look in the mirror,
yeah.
But man, there's, you just, every day you watch O'Neal, it's like, how is this guy hitting 200? Like it's baffling.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff Hathorn with us on that Fan Hotline. Jeff, I believe that it is almost 100% that Ben Cherington is going to be the general manager for the Pittsburgh Pirates next year. Do we have any faith that he is going to bring in the right resources to surround Paul Skeens and Donnie Kelly in 2026? Like, I know you say that we need to bring in bats and need a power hitter. Do we believe that it's going to happen? Do you feel like there's a sense that it's going to actually happen now?
So we're hearing the right words. You're hearing urgency. You're hearing need to find, you know, need to strengthen that lineup 1 through 9, all that stuff. But what you don't hear is, well, what's their payroll going to be? I mean, they say they have the resources, but what is it going to be? The same resources as last year? And I would say this, and I know people will laugh. Like, let's say you have $30 million to spend. I don't mind giving it all to Pete Alonso.
Right.
Like, they need a difference maker. I mean, when A.J. Burnett came over here, people laughed, even though he wasn't playing at the level that Alonso is. Like, and I know it was a trade, so it's different. But it was like, man, this guy, what's this guy doing here? And he helped change a culture and then excelled in the opportunity here. Whatever they could do to convince a guy like that to come here, even if they fill out the rest of their roster with minor league, like find somebody that could be that type of difference maker. But what you hear from Ben is that, you know, basically we don't have the resources for that. So we've got to look at trades. Well, if you're going to make a trade, you're going to have to give up something good. And if you give up something good, I know Spencer Horwitz was better at the end of the year, but you need a better, bigger impact bat than that. And you need a couple of them. I mean, does Connor Griffin play into the mix? They say no. But if you're looking at internally in the organization, that's the power bat you have. But you don't know. He's 19 years old. So I still question whether they would get to that level. They're talking the game. Mm. Now can they act the game?
Jeff, there was multiple times this past season that Paul Skeens, you know, kind of spoke out and alluded to, we need to get better here. We need to get better there. We got to bring in this. We got to do this. We got to do that. Do you think that he, by voicing, you know, that those opinions, do you think that he put the pressure on the organization to kind of speak the way that they did yesterday? I know that, you know, it's just words and they need action, but it feels like that their words are urgent. Even though we don't know if there's any action behind it, it feels like Travis Williams speaking yesterday and Ben Cherington speaking yesterday that the words are urgent. Do you think Paul Skeens had a little bit to do with that by some of the things he said this past season?
Yeah, I do. And I think that's part of the leadership. And I don't think he ever crossed a line.
Right.
Like, you know, where he said something that was just out of line to where management would say it. Like, he walked up to close to it. He said what he felt. And I think he said what was obvious. I mean, he didn't say anything about what was going on internally or we need this or stop with. I mean, he just said, we need hitting, basically, and not just to paraphrase him. And he's right. And I'm sure I can't imagine how frustrated he is at some of the outings that he pitched where he got no support. And I don't think it's for him like, I need to win 20 games. I think I want to be on a winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we've learned about Skeens and we've seen from his college career and early in his major league or his Pirates career. He wants to win. Like, the stats are great and he wants to excel, but he wants to be on a winner. And he looks around the room and he sees a team that's a few pieces short of being a winner. You know, again, what are they going to do? I mean, the talk is great, but what are they going to do? And are they going to be willing not just to make a trade and make the right trade, but are they going to be willing to spend? This is their window. This is what they discussed when they tore it down. Like, when we're good, we're going to have the money to spend. Well, prove it. Prove it.
Jeff, I have an oddball question for you. This is something I threw out last week. The Pirates haven't had a captain in a long time. Do you think the Pirates would try to solidify Skeen's leadership by maybe doing something historic and making him a captain since he's been so outspoken and seemed to be a good leader?
Maybe. I think that depends on if Kutch is back. I don't think they want to give him the captaincy and not Kutch. But I don't think, and you hear this often with some guys, like he doesn't need a C on his uniform to everybody know who's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he is starting to establish that. Like you see at times, like in the locker room, he'll be ticked off. Like, but I think it's a good, I think he's happier with Donnie because I think he feels like Donnie will have his back. Like he's not afraid of tough conversations either. And, you know, those are hard when you're an interim guy, even though that title wasn't put on him, it's sometimes can be difficult to have those tough conversations because players can roll their eyes, not knowing if you're going to be the person, but everything we hear from players, from Ben, that man, he was willing to tear into guys if he needed to. And I think that's a big reason why he got the job.
Jeff, don't look now. The Steelers are in first place in the AFC North.
Yeah.
And they're on a bye week. They're going to try to get healthy, do some self-scouting during this bye week. But whenever they kick their feet up and they watch the AFC North play on Sunday, the Browns got to travel to London and play the Vikings. The Ravens are probably going – or yeah, they actually are going to be without Lamar Jackson. They play a desperate Texans team. And the Bengals, who lost last night, only scored 3 points, have to play the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Is this becoming for real that the Steelers may be in first place whenever it's all said and done of this division? Are you believing in that kind of process and looking around the division?
Too early.
Okay.
Too early. But listen, they did what they needed to do. I mean, they had to be 3-1 at this point. They couldn't be 2-2 or anything worse. 4-0 would have been great, but you kind of looked at the schedule. For me, I thought it was going to be Minnesota would be the loss. But whatever. They're 3-1. They put themselves in a good position because of injuries to other teams. You know, they're where they need to be. Now, can they clean up some of the mistakes and know that they have their own injuries? I mean, you don't know how long Warren's going to be out. We don't know about Ramsey and the hamstring. We saw how many games Porter missed with the hamstring. So, I mean, they're dealing with some of their own things. But I feel better about them establishing a run game. That to me, of all the things that happened this weekend, I'm like, if they can establish a run game and make play action believable, this offense is going to be pretty good. Now, defensively, there's, you know, we saw some of the mistakes. That stuff has to get cleared up. But we're also seeing splash from their end. So, I mean, I'm believing. I want to see it against some tougher teams. And even though Cleveland's not a tougher team, once they go in the division, kind of go Cleveland 3 days later at Cincinnati, that will tell me a little bit more that they could keep that role going. By the way, I was listening to Boomer a couple of weeks ago heading to the Steelers-Patriots game, and he's like, listen, Jake Browning, this guy's good. Like, they're going to win 10 games. And even someone like Boomer, who knows a hell of a lot more about football than me, it's like, wow, they're just – can you imagine what it's like for Chase and Higgins right now?
Oh, man.
Like, frustrating. What is their frustration level going to be like?
Well, you know what? The contracts that they signed a couple months ago, that kind of eases the tension a little bit. You know, that'll ease the tension just a little bit, but you're still very frustrated. Jeff, thank you so much. We'll talk to you Thursday.
All right. See you guys. Hopefully Crowley makes it back.
Yeah, we'll see. Callis hopes he doesn't, so. We'll see. Thanks, Jeff.
See you, boys.
There he goes, Jeff Hathorn. A lot to say. You know, obviously diving into the Pirates and the Steelers and, you know, Don Kelly getting extended. But there's one positive component to the Steelers in the first four games. And now they're in their bye week. And I think that if they could keep this rolling, they'll be in a decent spot. Really, really big positive component to what the Steelers have done that I think needs to be talked about a little bit. We'll talk about that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm certainly interested in starting fast, but the start doesn't determine the game. It's a 60-minute football game, as you guys just saw. And so you got to start fast. You got to be competitive in the middle. You better be competitive at the end. We're in the ultimate parity league, and I think that's why we have such a good relationship with our fans, man. And we enjoy putting our talents and skills on display for them.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That was Mike Tallman talking about starting fast, and I said earlier and teased earlier that that is a huge component to the Steelers' somewhat success this year. And any success of a football team, you obviously want to get off to fast starts, whether it's on special teams, whether it's on offense, whether it's on defense, but especially on offense. And if you're getting the ball first, you kind of want to take control of the game. And this is the issue I've had with the Steelers in the past years, the past maybe 5 years, is that they let the game come to them instead of being aggressive and taking the game. Like, they let the game breathe, and it's like it's almost reactionary. It's like, okay, let's see what they do first, and then we'll react off of that. Like, they never were aggressive of going out and establishing the game. Like, establishing how the flow of the game will go. Because that, whenever you start fast and you have fast starts like they have with Aaron Rodgers, and we haven't seen that, like I said, in years, consistently in years. But whenever you start fast, you dictate how the flow of the game can go. Now, things are going to happen during a game. Like, there's going to be turnovers. There's going to be, stalled out drives. Like, it's football. But give yourself a chance by starting fast. And it's about the game plan initially and obviously getting points on the board as fast as possible, because then that dictates how the game flow can possibly go. Then you can grab the control, not the opposite, not of waiting for the control to grab you. You start fast, and then your game plan changes, especially on offense. You start fast, you score a touchdown, you're up 7-0, everything changes to a positive realm. On defense, you go and you get a 3-and-out, then you get the ball back, and then the whole playbook is kind of at your disposal. You have control, you are aggressive, and that's why the Steelers have been in games. That's why that they've won games, that's why that they're somewhat 3-1 right now, is because of how Aaron Rodgers operates with the fast starts. You have playmakers that can get you those explosive plays. We saw that with DK Metcalf. That's why DK Metcalf, to me, was such a unbelievable acquisition. Watching DK Metcalf over the years, the ability he has to explode and break a play wide open at any moment gives you that advantage of starting fast. Gives you that advantage that if you can throw a slant route, which is three steps from a wide receiver spot, three steps, and he could take it 60, 70, 80 yards, you know how much of an advantage that is? Have a receiver to be able to do that and not have to throw it in the air? That's why you get a guy like DK Metcalf. That's why you have explosive players like Jalen Warren and you pay him. It's to get out to the fast starts, play aggressive, take control of the game, and then go from there. Now, you can have fast starts on defense as well. And I think the Steelers have shown that they can do that. They have shown, which is very impressive, and you go back to the comments that Mike Tallman made in training camp saying that the historical defense, blah, blah, blah. Like, the defense hasn't been great, I understand. Like it's going to take some time to fully come together. You got some guys banged up right now. You got Jalen Ramsey banged up. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. You had Joey Porter Jr. that hasn't played really a full game yet, right? You just got Deshaun Elliott back. You just got really Derek Harmon back last week. Your rookie defensive tackle that you're very, very high on, who has really shown why he was a first-round pick, I believe, in the first game and a half that he's played. Deshaun Elliott has shown why he's so important to this defense. But the thing that is most impressive to me about this defense, that if they can put everything together, is the fact that they can create turnovers. That's the biggest key, right, to playing defense is getting turnovers, creating turnovers. They punch the ball out. Like, if you're an offense and you're playing the Steelers, and I guarantee that Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings offense practice, like, hey, we need to practice ball security every single second that we're on the field in practice. Because this team will try to punch the ball out. This team will try to rip the ball out. Watch them next week against the Cleveland Browns. They did it a lot the game before against the Patriots, obviously. They did it a few times in this last game. But watch every defender whenever there's a ball carrier around and watch their hands. They are trying to get the football. That is the most impressive thing about the Steelers defense, in my opinion, is their ability to try to get the ball out and being successful at it. Now, they'll have coverage busts. You saw Peyton Wilson. That wasn't his fault on the goal line or in the gold area, 10 yards and in, whenever they gave up the touchdown. That wasn't his responsibility. I saw a clip of that. The Jordan Addison catch, they're going to have coverage busts on the back end. They had coverage busts when Minkah Fitzpatrick was here. It's going to happen. You have to minimize those, but it's going to happen. But the fact that they can try to get the ball out and usually are successful at getting the ball out and creating turnovers and creating fumbles, that's very significant for a defense. And it's not just one guy. It's all the guys. Very, very impressed by how the Steelers defense really changed its stripes a little bit against the Vikings. I felt like it was a completely different defense. Like I said, there's still issues like that they can fix that are fixable. It just felt different. It felt like they were moving at a different speed. It felt like that they, you know, had a plan and they knew the plan. They understood their assignment. They were given a task and they executed the task. Get after Carson Wentz. Show different looks. Do different blitzes. Bring the house. Cover on the back end. Strip the ball. Create turnovers. Get interceptions. Like, they just look different. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself again, but that's what we were expecting the first couple games. And early on, it's early in the season, but I do have faith that they're going to clean things up even more. And if they can roll out a defense like that every single game, they're going to have a chance. And if they can start fast every single game, like they have been with Aaron Rodgers on offense, they will have a chance. You look around the division, like I said, not too high, not too low, but the Steelers are sitting in a decent spot right now. They just can't get complacent about where they're at. That sometimes is an issue with Mike Tomlin's teams. I feel like they get complacent. I feel like that they feel like that they have arrived. You think about, 2 years ago, whenever the Patriots came into town, they stunk. They beat the Steelers. You think about whenever the Arizona Cardinals, the game before that, they came into town, they stunk, they beat the Steelers because the Steelers felt like that they had arrived already, and they didn't. Think about if they win those games, they're in a better position, they probably win a playoff game. That absolutely cannot happen this year. Absolutely cannot happen this year. And there's going to be examples of that coming up after the bye week. Those games are so important for the Pittsburgh Steelers because those games are looked at as games that we should win. And we better have everything buttoned up and not take a bad loss to the Cleveland Browns, who are coming back from London after probably getting whooped by the Vikings and then turning around and playing on Thursday Night Football against Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals that have no defense and can't throw the ball past 20 yards. Those two games are very important for the Steelers to have everything buttoned up and make sure they win those football games, and then they'll put themselves in an even better situation. All right, coming up, are you smarter than a plumber? Well, Southside Jake, we'll see if I can go 3-0 with the questions. Kyle's is going to help me with those as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doran Dickerson here with you. Nicholas Harry Callis is here as well. And my guy, our guy, Southside Jake. Are you smarter than a plumber? Jake, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How are you? I could see they actually did leave Crowley in Ireland. That's a good move by everyone.
Tremendous,
so
right?
Now we don't have to deal with them.
Callis is very happy. Crowley will be back tomorrow, we think. Callis is hoping he isn't going to be back, but Crowley, he had a good time in Ireland. He joined us yesterday, and he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, poor guy. But every good thing must come to an end. So he's back. Let's go. You know what I mean? But, all right, let's get down to the questions here. This is what we're here for. Obviously, me versus you versus Callis. I guess.
Let's get it.
That's the team today.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm liking it. I'm liking it a lot. All right, first question. Here we go. What dual threat quarterback has the most rushing touchdowns? A. Michael Vick. B. Cam Newton. C. Randall Cunningham. D. Josh Allen.
I mean,
this is obviously career.
The Bills have relied on Josh Allen a lot in recent years.
They have.
But has he rushed that much?
Man. I feel like this is a trick question.
What's option B? What's that second option?
Yeah, what was B?
Okay, A.
Cam Newton.
Michael Vick.
Cam Newton.
B. Cam Newton. C. Randall Cunningham. Or D. Josh Allen.
Cam Newton really
most
didn't have
rushing
success.
Touchdowns in the career.
Newton didn't have that much success for that long. I mean, the Panthers did well, made it to the Super Bowl, but that was, I mean, they weren't.
He was the whole team, though, year in and year out, even though they weren't great.
I'll give you guys two 50-50s today since you can't ask Callis.
All right, yeah, we'll take a 50-50.
All right. The 50-50 options are A, Michael Vick, or B, Cam Newton.
Man.
Michael Vick struck
me. Was that
me.
What you were thinking?
Man. Yep. I'm going to go B, Cam Newton.
You are correct.
Nice.
Let's go.
He had 75 rushing touchdowns, but here's the thing, guys.
Dang!
Josh Allen has 68. I think he's going to break that record this year.
Oh, this year for sure. For sure.
Yeah,
wow.
So
75.
That's crazy.
All right, next question.
75 rushing touchdowns. Next question. In 1989, the new Dallas Cowboy owner, Jerry Jones, held his first press conference to introduce himself and also fire Dallas' beloved legendary football coach, Tom Landry. The press conference is referred to as A, Death of America's Team, B, The Devil in America's Team, C, The Saturday Night Massacre, or D, The Gambler and His Cowboys.
D.
That is incorrect. It is called C, The Saturday Night Massacre.
Oh, my gosh. I said D because of the documentary. Jeez.
It was in the documentary.
Yeah, actually. I know. I just watched it. Jeez.
Oh, man. You should have had that one.
No, I can't be missing stuff. I can't be missing football questions. Man. That's ridiculous. Come on.
That's a good one. Come on.
That was a good one. I like that question. That was a good one. It was relevant because of the documentary,
Millionaire question right there.
All right. Last but not least.
last but not least, the rubber match, in more ways than another. Actually, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but you know, hypothetically, the Steelers play the Browns. Joe Flacco could be the field general of the Browns in 2 weeks. You know, this could be the end. This could be the last time the Steelers play Joe Flacco. So, what do you think the overall record, wins and losses of Flacco versus Steelers are? A, 8 wins, 14 losses. Obviously, we're talking about Joe Flacco here, so he would have 8 wins and 14 losses. B, 12 wins, 10 losses. C, 11 wins, 11 losses. Or D, 13 wins, 9 losses.
50-50.
50-50 for sure.
50-50. Okay. So, B, 12 wins, 10 losses. And C, 11 wins and 11 losses.
I feel like you picked this question because he is exactly 500 against the Steelers.
I feel like it's not 500 because I feel like that would have been talked about a little bit. I feel like he has a winning record against the Steelers, especially last year.
Mm-hmm.
Beating the Steelers whenever he was with the Colts. Oh, man. Let's go. What is it? B, 12 wins, 10 losses.
10 losses. Okay. You are incorrect. This is actually the final. Could be the final rubber match. 11-11. So, honestly, like I said, Steelers win. They might have it. Flacco wins. He might hold that over the Steelers forever. I'm just saying. But you know what? Actually, I'm going to make a prediction. I don't think that's going to play out because I don't think Flacco is going to be a starting quarterback by then.
I think
Gabriel's going to be in, and then Mike Tomlin's going to get another win over a first-time quarterback.
Yep.
That's the script, and I'm sticking to it.
I agree. You're absolutely right. Oh, man. I went 1-2. I stink. All right. Thanks, Jake. Good talking to you.
All right, fellas. Have a great day.
You too. Man, Kalos, I should have listened to you.
Boy, that's rare.
That is rare. I was just about to be like, you know what, Kalos?
Well, I'm learning how Jake's constructing the questions, and I thought, like, he looked up a fact. There was a fact he saw, and it was way more interesting that Joe Flacco's 11-11.
That's true.
And he hinted by saying it could be his final game. So I'm like, Jake wouldn't be asking this question if it were like a weird random record. 11-11 has some significance then.
Yeah.
If Joe Flacco's going to play his final game against the Steelers this year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point. Man, I can't believe I missed that. Van Morn Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Kalos, do you know where Joe Flacco went to college?
Pitt.
That is correct. And also Delaware. Good job. Joe Flacco.
Do you think Pitt would be playing better with Joe Flacco right now as their quarterback?
I do not want to answer that question. I don't want to answer that. I don't want to answer that at all. Joe Flacco in college or Joe Flacco now?
Joe Flacco, like, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Joe Flacco can still clearly play football.
Oh, Pitt.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jeez. You should come to the Pitt game Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
You should bring Jada. You're not doing anything. It's going to be a nice day. It's
we
12.
Are doing something. We're going to Erie this
whatever.
This weekend. I'm sorry.
Look, I just invited you to the Pitt game. It's going to be a nice day.
My cousin's wedding last month, she invited us to go up to Erie because her son, my cousin, is getting married, I think, next year. So we're doing a bunch of stuff with them, trying to spend more time with the family these days because I have more time on my hands now. Sorry. But I'm not sorry because I love my family.
Yeah, it's fine. You did say that Jada's in on the horror movie challenge.
Yes. Yeah, she texted me. She's like, I listened to the pre-show. She gave me a couple of, she said, if I've seen it, I can veto it. And if I think I'm going to get scared, we're not going to watch it.
You're judging a book by its cover. How does she, if she thinks she's going to get scared by the title name?
Let me just double check. If there's a movie that I don't like, I don't know what that means.
That's a good point. You have to handshake this.
Oh, a movie that I don't like and I've already seen.
Okay, that's fine. You can't. No, that it has to be a movie that both of you have never seen.
Okay.
And if you start, you have to have Scout's honor here, and we have to handshake. If you start the movie, whether it's 10 seconds in, you have to finish it. You can't stop the movie at any point. You have to finish the whole movie. because I'm going to quiz you on the movie, so I'll know that if you didn't watch it.
What if I get up to pee?
Pause it.
And then I trip over my table.
Get up.
And I crack my head off the floor.
Figure it out. Take an impact concussion test and then figure it out and watch it.
He said figure it out.
Figure it out. Get up. Oh, man. There's five Fridays in October, too, so we have five movies to pick from.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you, year, for making that a thing.
It's great. This is good for you. You're expanding your horizons. It's very good. All right, coming up next, somebody needs to step up for the Steelers. Steelers are dealing with some injuries, so somebody or somebodies need to step up for the Steelers. We'll talk about them next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Dickerson, Cal's here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Caller number three, Cal's gets the Joe Coy tickets October 4th, PPG Paints Arena. That's caller number three to go see Joe Coy October 4th at PPG Paints Arena. Somebody needs to step up for the Steelers. Obviously, Calvin Austin is injured. He left the stadium in Dublin, Croke Park, in a sling, so he has a shoulder injury. So he's going to be out for a few weeks, I assume a few weeks at least. He's going to be out definitely for the two games coming up after the bye week, which is the Cleveland Browns, and then they turn around and play the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. So Calvin Austin, he will be out. So they need somebody to step up, a wide receiver number two. Now, the Scotty Miller is capable of doing that for a game or two. Ben Skoranek, I think, is somebody that is definitely capable of doing that for a game or two. Those two guys right there have to be vital to what the Steelers do at that number two wide receiver position. I assume right now, as we sit, it'll be receiver by committee. It'll be those two guys. And where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? Where's Roman Wilson? Roman Wilson, he had the recovery on the onside kick. I think he had three reps on offense. He's a guy throughout training camp that got better and better. And at first it was a little shaky, and Aaron Rodgers spoke about him and says, he basically has a lot of faith in Roman Wilson. And Roman Wilson started playing a little bit better. So Roman Wilson, I don't know if they're comfortable and they're in a position to give him that task of being that number two wide receiver for these next couple games, but he's going to have to show up. He's going to have to show up in a big way, and they're going to have to at least do receiver by committee. Now, I don't know if the Steelers are in a position right now where they want to reach out to a free agent wide receiver. I would do my due diligence for sure. I would work some guys out throughout the bye week. But you're going to need your guys in-house to step up. And if you really want to add to this depth at the receiver position and take a chance on a low-grade contract for a guy that is a veteran that is out there, I would probably look into that. Like, that would be probably my first duty during this bye week is, all right, who are the names out there and who do we think that could fit and who could be productive? Not asking to be number two wide receiver productive, but being a part of that wide receiver two committee that we already have that can add an element to the receiving game. Now, there's names out here that, I mean, it's not the best, but there are some guys that could come in right away and play. I mean, Deontay Johnson's name's the first on this list. I don't see him coming back, clearly. Odell Beckham, he's on the list. I don't know if you really want to take a chance on a veteran, older Odell Beckham that, has had some issues at times. Robert Woods is a guy that has been here. Is he really going to give you that spark for that committee, that wide receiver committee? Nelson Aguilar's out there. I think that he could be a decent pickup. Tyler Boyd, we've thrown his name out a bunch of times in the last year or two about becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think that ship has sailed. Michael Gallup, I don't know. I feel like he retired, but I could be wrong. G.J. Shark is out there. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Marquez Callaway. Some of these names I'm sure that some of you have heard of. K.J. Osborne you've heard of. What other ones are out there? K.J. Hamler. He's a smaller guy. Mecole Hardman. I mean, those are the names that are out there. So it's not a great list, but I would look into adding somebody that can maybe give me a spark at the receiver position. But you're really going to have to ask guys like Skoranek, guys like Scotty Miller to step up, and especially Roman Wilson. Like, this is your opportunity, man. This is your perfect prime opportunity to really showcase your skills after really missing all of last season, not getting many reps last season, and not getting many reps throughout the first four games of being a wide receiver on the Steelers. So this is a prime opportunity for Roman Wilson. We'll see if he can step up, but the other guys are going to have to step up as well and be that receiver by committee while Calvin Austin is out with a shoulder injury. Coming up next, Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins the show. He had a lot to say yesterday and a lot of great questions asked by Noah to Travis Williams, president of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Noah put out a couple articles, some players anonymously saying some things about the Pirates organization. You know, where do they go from here? Don Kelly's extension. Noah has all that good stuff. He joins us next on the Fan Morning Show. First, fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 80, low of 60, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, high of 73, low of 63 with clear skies.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.